Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by the Michigan Cherry Committee. Learn more about the wonderfully tart Montmorency Cherry at choosecherries.com.
HRN is offering complimentary business memberships to 50 Black, Indigenous, people of color-owned food businesses this summer. The deadline to apply is July 31st. Each business membership, a $500 value, is an advertising opportunity that will allow businesses disproportionately impacted by COVID-19 to connect with HRN's listening community and promote their work. To apply and review the terms and conditions, go to heritageradionetwork.org/BIZ.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show celebrating Asian cuisine and culture as we have conversations with the passionate people from the world of Asian food. I'm your host, Linda Liu. In this episode, we catch up with a former guest, Joanne Kwong, president of Pearl River Mart. Last fall, Joanne joined me in the studio to chat and chomp down on Asian snacks. We tasted our way through a delightful sweet and savory selection Joanne personally curated from her store. Today's episode is a change of pace. We talk about the adjustments she's had to make at Pearl River Mart due to COVID as customers shop online instead of in stores. We also talk about the wide range of projects she's taken on for her local communities, including her participation in Mayor de Blasio's Small Business Sector Advisory Council. Here's my conversation with Joanne. So hi, Joanne. Welcome back to the show. Long time no speak. How have you been?
Hi, Linda. It's so good to hear your voice. I think I've been kind of like everybody else. I feel very blessed to be healthy. It's a strange time, crazy time. So just trying to wade my way through.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is the current status of the Pearl River Mart stores?
So Pearl River Mart's three stores are currently closed. But over the past, I guess it's been about 9-10 weeks now, we have been constantly trying to figure out how to get back to normal, how to be ready to be normal once New York City reopens. So We took a little bit of time to figure out what our staffing would be once we closed in mid-March, and then kind of resumed shipping, and we were trying to figure out, what do our operations look like? And there was also merchandise that we needed to get rid of, like food and drinks and things like that.
Oh, right. So perishables.
Yeah. So I, really tried to do what I could from home to try to promote it. So we did, it was around March Madness. So we did like a snack madness with brackets and stuff, which was actually really fun. I did it with my kids.
But it kind of reminds me of our episode that we did together around Asian snacks and all the tastings we did.
Yes, you were definitely my inspiration.
Oh, good.
So I think my kids had less sophisticated taste than you, but
No. They're the snack taster, like kings, princess.
That's right.
I remember.
But yeah, just over the weeks, I think we know where we need to move towards, because the landscape is going to look totally different. So, my restaurant colleagues are, they had to figure out takeout and delivery. So, I think we assume that we won't be able to really rely on our brick and mortar stores as much as we did. So we've always shipped, we always had a pretty robust e-commerce business. There are always things that you could do better as far as your website goes, especially the back end, SEO and maybe some Google ads, things like that. But also experimenting with delivery. So I'm lucky enough to have a car in the city, and I kind of tool around the city in my Ford Escape. And I like, for example, for Mother's Day, I made a bunch of lucky bamboo plant arrangements, and I drove them around the city delivering them myself.
That's so cute.
Yeah, and it was actually so great because I did it on Mother's Day. It doesn't bother me. Like, I went to visit my mom, and I went to visit my husband's parents, the Chens, to deliver their goodies. And it was so nice to be able to just bring a little joy to some quarantined moms. And so that was really rewarding. And it's actually really nice because I think sometimes customers are surprised. Like, I'll just show up and text them and be like, hey.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, are they surprised to see, like, yeah, basically the business owner at their front door? Typically that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think what I love is that it's kind of normal for Pearl River because our customers are very used to us being hands-on and around, and to be able That's to great. Talk to my in-laws. So so it's almost like it's no big deal. So I'll text them and be like, hey, it's Joanne. You know, I'm the owner of Pearl River. Thanks for your order. And I'll be coming around, you know, 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock. And they're like, cool, you know, great to see you. And they couldn't be nicer. It's actually so much fun. I actually wish it didn't take as long as it did. Because I would love to do it more, but I'm definitely taking advantage of the suspension of alternate site parking. So that's something I'm really enjoying
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, that's a game changer.
Yes.
And are you guys doing any like curbside pickups, those kind of orders, or is everything 100% right now e-commerce?
Yes, we actually... We actually just announced yesterday that we were reopening for curbside pickup. And we did that because we did notice that we had a lot of orders from the neighborhood, and it really seemed silly to have them pay for shipping when they were literally two blocks away.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So because we have a lot of folks from Tribeca and Chinatown and Soho who order from us. Especially now that one of the things that we did was actually increase our food items, because that's what people were doing. They were cooking and eating and snacking at home. So I think many of them kind of wanted to just walk, take a little walk and come by the store. So as of yesterday, we're open on weekdays from 12 to 5 for curbside pickup. So you just kind of place your order, wait for the email, and then come pick it up.
Nice. So was it that earlier you had to kind of scale back on the food items, but now because of the curbside pickup, you're going into that again?
No, I think before we were always limited in our food offerings by space, and that's shelf space.
Yeah.
In the stores. So, you know, in the Chelsea Market store, in the Tribeca Chinatown store, we have like one shelf or one set of shelves, and that's all we really had room for. And now actually that people aren't coming into the store, it's a little messier because we're just scrambling to fulfill these orders. But, you know, there is a lot of energy that gets taken by, you know, presenting merchandise in a certain way. So it's a little bit of a relief to be able to fulfill these orders and just kind of like, you know, churn through them and not have to worry about the stores looking so perfect.
Right.
So it's something of a little bit of a relief, especially during this time when all of us may not be looking our best or presenting at our best, to just kind of get the work done. There's something very satisfying about that.
Yeah. So other than, even more snack options, what are some of the other new items you're stocking now for this time?
Yeah, I mean, we, as you know, we had tons of items before, so our SKU list is in the tens of thousands. So I think for me, I really started and created a list, you know, let's meet our customers where they are. What are they doing right now besides baking sourdough bread, right? Which we don't really do.
Guilty, yeah.
But they're working from home. They want to feel comfortable at home. I think, you know, especially in March and April, people, you know, there was so much anxiety. So what is it that we could provide that made people feel, you know, maybe recall back to a certain more comfortable time, more comforting time? Okay. So we really emphasized, you know, I think 1 week we promoted like apothecary items. So just like tiger balm. And nice. Yeah, some like white flower oil to kind of soothe you. K-beauty masks because you're at home and, you know, maybe you want to treat yourself a little bit. We also know that for the next probably like 12 to 18 months, 2 years, you know, we're going to be wearing masks and it'll become probably, you know, part of your fashion, part of, you know, your routine. And so... we actually just debuted some masks with our partner, Christine Wong of Conscious Cooking. And she's a sustainability expert. And she has always been a fan of our signature Peony Phoenix fabric that Mrs. Chen sourced like 20 years ago in China. And we've created a lot of items from this. But it's so cheerful. She's like hand sewn all of them.
It's so iconic. I saw them on your Instagram and they're so gorgeous.
Yeah, so iconic. And then Christine made them reversible. And they actually, they fit. It was funny because we were going back and forth about whether it's a tie strap or an elastic loop. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm always the one who's kind of like, let's just do the easy thing. She was like, no. The tie is really nice. And she created both. I'm like, yeah, you're right. The tie is really nice. Like, because it really like fits your face. And it doesn't feel kind of like a surgical mask that you put on. It's very special. Like, I feel like when you put it on, you're like, oh, I feel special in this, which is not really what you expect from putting on a face mask, you know?
Yeah. Staying healthy and fashionable at the same time.
Exactly. That's yes.
Something to strive for these days.
Yes.
So how has the pandemic affected your plans for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, as I had mentioned to you when we spoke back, it was, I remember it was the day before Halloween when we spoke.
That's right.
Yeah, we were planning actually to open our fourth store, Pearl River Mart Foods, this month. So it was supposed to be in May. So obviously that's not happening, probably for a few months. The project is still on track for right now. You know, I'm knocking on wood that it still does happen. But, you know, the landscape is changing so rapidly, and I think it's really hard for anyone to predict what the future of... not just retail, but just all small business and hospitality and tourism. You know, what is that going to look like 6 months from now? It's tough. But, you know, I think everyone will be eating food. So we've kind of accelerated the offerings that we were planning to offer at Pierron Foods since we now have, you know, since we are now kind of shipping more and delivering more and having curbside pickup. So we had always planned to kind of curate the essentials that we love in order to kind of take all of the choice that's sometimes very anxiety producing out of the equation for people. And then to also partner with some Asian American brands and entrepreneurs and chefs who are doing like amazing things. And there have been so many great sauces that have come out of the pandemic. we're excited to kind of, you know, roll out each of these offerings. And it makes people happy. I think just having things that they can cook with and taste and still kind of feel a little bit normal during these times.
Yeah. Do you foresee the physical space opening up when the city reopens in a 100% way?
I mean, I think
or now that you've like kind of rolled out the digital version of those offerings.
Yeah, I think that's the number one question right now. I'm actually serving on the Mayor's Small Business Advisory Council. And we've been having a lot of conversations about what this looks like when the physical spaces open up. And it's actually been really rewarding to be with this group. It's a group, a very diverse group. Yeah, from
could you tell us more, like, how did you get involved, and you know, what do you guys do there at the council?
So the mayor, this is a few weeks ago, he announced 10 different sectors where he would convene a council of people to kind of advise him as far as the reopening of New York City. So I think there's like a nonprofit group, and there's a restaurant group, and a higher education. And so I was invited onto the small business group, and the group is about maybe 30 to 40 people, a mix of small business owners in a number of different industries. So beauty salons, retail, restaurants, specialty foods. And then there are also civic and community leaders. So I think each borough's Chamber of Commerce is represented from Chinatown. The Chinatown BID Executive Director Wellington Chen is on it, and Joanne Yu, who is the head of the Asian American Federation, is also represented. And it's great because I think we get into the nuts and bolts, and especially as a small business owner, it's very satisfying to be able to talk about the practical and to really get down to it, and also to hear everybody else's experiences, both the commonalities and kind of what makes us all different. Especially because I think owning a business sometimes is very lonely, and you know, you're often making decisions as best as you can with whatever knowledge you can, but it's not like working, like when I used to work in a corporate environment where there's like a team and you sit down and you know, really kind of like mash it through. I just, I usually just don't have the time to do that. So, if I'm lucky, you know, myself and my in-laws will get together and be able to talk about, certain things, but you know, most of the time we just have
otherwise we're like making decisions on the fly.
Yeah. You just have to make decisions on the fly. And actually when we first closed down, I like to create plans. It makes me feel better. So, but every single day there was a different operational plan because things changed so quickly. So every day that things changed, there was a new plan, until I just gave up. but thankfully things have stabilized, and I think we're trying, just like everybody else, to figure out what's the best that I can do, at least for this day and this week and for this month. And you know, we're kind of all in this together, so let's figure it out.
So has the mayor taken you know, some opinions and advice that you guys have provided, and like is there action coming from this council? Are there desired outcomes or goals you guys are trying to achieve?
I was very surprised. So the first meeting, I think, you know, none of us really knew at the time what to expect because it was a big Zoom call, tons of people on the call.
Oh, that's right. It has to be on Zoom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so the mayor was on that call, and I think everybody was still, you know, they were just feeling, you know, like many of us, and I don't want to elevate kind of small business owners' problems, but there are, you know, 20,000 decisions you have to make, and you feel infuriated sometimes by, let's say, a complicated process like the PPP loan process, or the fact that you need PPE for your employees, or, you know, delivery people. And everything has been a battle, really. So that first meeting was really a lot of unloading, but in a very,
a lot of frustration.
But in a very respectful manner. And to their credit, I think the mayor's office was on. It was the commissioner and the deputy commissioner of small business services. You know, it was a good group, and they were all listening. And I could really tell that, you know, a lot of, they did a, you know, pre-calls and really like wanted to know what were the commonalities that we all had and what were the differences. So I was actually, there's so many people on the call. So really, only a few people could speak for, you know, every, meeting. So that first meeting, I was one of the people that they invited to speak for like 2 minutes. And I really felt like it was important to let the mayor know that, the Asian American community was hurting, and mm-hmm. that Chinatown was hurting because Chinatown had essentially closed or was closing for 2 months, you know, before the rest of the city shut down. And mm-hmm. I was surprised because he was very attentive and listening. And then the next day, he actually spoke about my comments in his daily briefing. And those were actually the only comments that he mentioned from that call. Yeah. And I was just really amazed.
You know, impact at least in terms of like getting that message across and then for him to then deliver it to the masses.
Yeah. And I that meant a lot to me. And I think you're always, you know, I think with elected leaders, you're always kind of like trying to figure out like what's the impact, you know, is this really going to make a difference? And I was just glad because I felt like that was something that the Chinatown community kind of needed to hear too, that they had gone through a tough time. And the other thing that I emphasized was that even though this community has been and is going through a hard time, like the level of innovation and community spirit is off the charts. It's amazing. Just, you know, how people have come together and really thought of different ways to help seniors, to help the vulnerable communities, like to raise money for masks or, you know, to make sure that our frontline health workers are protected. And that's been really inspiring, actually, just to see like, wow, there's all these cool ideas that are happening. And I think and I hope I'm pretty sure it will continue after we all get back to normal, which is really nice.
Yeah, that's great to hear. So we're going to take a really short break and we'll be right back with more Feast Meets West.
This episode is brought to you by the Michigan Cherry Committee. A cherry isn't just a cherry. When it comes to tart cherries, the wonderfully U.S.-grown Montmorency tart cherry variety is the cherry with more. They're available year-round, dried, frozen, canned, juice, and concentrate. U.S. Montmorency tart cherries are also one of America's superfruit, which means they're good for you. Tart cherries contain many antioxidants and beneficial phytonutrients, including anthocyanins, the pigments that give tart cherries their beautiful red color. And don't forget about flavor. U.S. Montmorency's unique sour-sweet profile makes them an excellent addition to yogurt, oatmeal, salads, trail mix, and of course, a classic cherry pie. Learn more about the wonderfully U.S.-grown Montmorency tart cherry at choosecherries.com.
All right, welcome back. We have Joanne on the line with us. So you were just sharing with us about some of the work you've been doing with the mayor's office on the council. And you also mentioned how Chinatown, a lot of local communities have been really active in supporting the frontline workers. And I actually saw on your Instagram that you guys were, you know, doing some work with like the healthcare professionals as well. Could you talk a little bit about that and some of the other special projects you've been working on during this time?
Yes. So it was probably at the end of March. Every week feels like so long ago, but at the end of March, that's really when we were about to embark on the peak, right? We didn't know where the peak was going to be. And there was a week when it felt so dire because...
it was so scary.
It was so scary.
Like, knock on wood, hopefully, you know, I mean, it definitely looks like we've turned a new page.
Yes.
That was a very scary moment.
Yeah, and just the reports from the hospitals that the doctors and the nurses didn't have PPE, and I had called some of my doctor friends just to see how they were doing, and one friend told me about her husband, who they're both doctors. Her husband is an ER doctor, mm-hmm. and that she was online for him, like looking for like full body suits, you know, and. Mm-hmm. She also considered it, but it was really expensive. It was a couple thousand dollars, but she was willing to do it. And she was also considering a motorcycle helmet. And I was like, oh my God, a motorcycle helmet? And she was like, it's better than nothing. And
better than nothing. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yes. And some people were kind of strapping on like maxi pads and just, yeah. I don't know. There was a story about like people, nurses being given like Yankees ponchos. It was just crazy. And at the same time, we were getting some emails from our suppliers that said, hey, we have a shipment of KN95 masks. Do you need these? And my mother-in-law forwarded it to me. And I thought, oh, you know, yeah, like we definitely like try to get all of them because
wow,
I know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It was good of your supplier to be proactive to share that information too.
Yes and no, because I think at that time the KN95s were hitting the streets, but it was so confusing because there was no coordination on the federal level. So were KN95s approved or not to be used? And actually at the time they were not.
I see.
So yeah, so you could buy some KN95s that were just kind of, you know, on the streets or actually in grocery stores in Chinatown if you could find them. And we just wanted to buy all of them because we wanted to give them to the hospitals. But they were actually at that time pretty expensive because, I think that was the time when everybody freaked out and they knew that we needed PPE. And I knew personally just from doing this, that it was going to take a couple weeks, you know, to get, to get PPE if it was coming from China, you know, so I just thought like, let's get the whole thing. But like we ourselves couldn't afford it. So we actually posted a GoFundMe because I wanted to buy that whole lot. And we bought ourselves a few hundred because we wanted to donate them. But the other problem was also who to give them to, because I emailed all of the hospitals and they had like a generic line, but I think they were over, this is what I learned later, they were overwhelmed because it wasn't just like people who wanted to donate to them, it was people who wanted to sell to them and maybe price gouge. And they had to kind of like sift through all of that. So I asked two doctor friends, and you know, one of them is my neighbor. She's my downstairs neighbor. And she worked at Elmhurst Hospital. And then there was another friend. He worked at another hospital. So they both said, like, yes, we are desperate. Like, give us whatever you can. I said, okay, I'm going to place the order. I'm going to, you know, like, I'm going to buy whatever this guy has. And I did. And then after that, I went back to my male friend. And his wife actually said, we can't do it because they're getting in trouble. It's just, it's too risky for us. Like, we can't bring it in. And I thought, oh, crap. Like, what did I just do? If, you know, I bought all these things and I can't distribute them, because I did know the KN95s at that point were not allowed to be imported because they had not been approved yet. Luckily, my friend at Elmhurst, she said, it is chaos here. Like, just, we'll take it. We'll take whatever. And I was so grateful, because she needed it. I mean, like Elmhurst was the epicenter, in a way, I think maybe still is. And, it's a public hospital. And, you know, she was like, oh, I drive, in on these days. So if you can get it by this day, that would be amazing. So yeah, we like did the pass off. I picked
the drop.
Up the drop. Yeah. My, the vendor dropped it off at my in-laws' house, near Chinatown. And then we drove down to have this like contactless drop off from my in-laws. And then I handed it over to my neighbor downstairs, right downstairs from where we live.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm just so sure that everyone at the hospital, is so incredibly grateful for your effort around all of this.
Yeah, it was, I was so really nice because we ended up, the GoFundMe ended up raising almost $70,000 for PPE. And so I partnered with a friend who already had a big order coming, and the PPE market was crazy. It's actually still crazy, I think. So she mm-hmm. had troubles getting that shipment in. So I freaked out and I was like, oh, I got to place my own order. So I went through all of these vendors because there was a lot of counterfeit merchandise.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
Yes.
To hear that.
Yeah. And even though we have, you know, trusted people with boots on the ground in China, for example, even they were kind of like, oh, wow. Like I remember there was one night, it was like 3 a.m. and I was emailing with my counterpart in China, and I was mm-hmm. about to buy a whole bunch of these masks, and I looked carefully at it, and I actually used to be a copyright lawyer, so I looked at the logo and I was like, oh my god, it's slightly off, and it really freaked me out. Yeah. So
good thing you checked.
Yes, yeah, and then I told her, and she freaked out because she was like, "Oh my god!" And so anyway, after a lot of back and forth, we ended up. I decided not to look for N95s anymore. So those are the U.S. equivalents. There are very few of them, mm-hmm. and I think they're harder to get. They're just more regulated. So KN95s are the Chinese equivalent, which medical workers use there too. I mean, you know, the market I think also has had some problems with counterfeit goods, but it was less so because there was just more available. I found, I feel very confident in this person because mm-hmm. they're straight from the manufacturer. So yeah. There's no brokering involved. So those are kind of masks that we have now. And they finally landed, and we've had a couple of small shipments in between, but mm-hmm. thankfully I went back to my friend who's at Elmhurst and I said, hey, do you guys still need masks? We had done like one other mask drop since the first one. And she said, you know, thankfully I think we're stabilized at the moment, which I was so grateful mm-hmm. for. Yeah. But she said, she was like, you know, my residents will always remember that shipment of yours from that first week because it was so scary at the time. They'll always remember that shipment. And that meant so much to me. That in our small way, like, we were able to help. That meant a lot.
Yeah, that's such a good story, Joanne. And who knew you would become such a mask expert at this point?
Yeah, like medical devices. It's me.
Yeah, jack of all trades here. So it's great to hear also from your friend as well that with regards to PPE, even though it's still a challenge, things are starting to stabilize. So what would you say from your perspective, what should we be doing now as responsible consumers to support small businesses and our community? Like, in the same way that you have been able to help your community and you definitely went the extra mile, what are some of the other things that us regular folk can do?
I think a lot of people have been stepping up. I think personally, it has been scary the last couple of years just to see kind of the demise, really the very slow demise of retail. Mm-hmm. And I think the pandemic has awakened people to a lot of realizations. But one of them also is about small businesses and the fact that they do need support if you want them to exist, and whether that's a restaurant or a hair salon or a retail store, we had become so reliant.
You can't take it for granted.
Right. Like, we had become so reliant on kind of the Amazons and the Costcos and the Targets. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is a place absolutely for those stores because, you know, they provide a service and they innovated. But there has to be, I think we have to choose to make sure that there is room for small business owners too, because they really are the fabric of each of our neighborhoods. So the people who are, you know, like getting the PPE and trying to do the neighborhood watches and providing food for the seniors, like, those are the mom and pops. You know, they're really not the big box companies that are doing that. And when you lose these small businesses, you know, you lose that fabric, and you have empty storefronts that lead to urban blight, and you miss out on the human interactions and the innovation and the personalization. And I think, I hope that people do realize that. So speed and lowest price definitely does have a factor to be played in your purchasing decisions.
Yeah.
But so does community spirit, and so does, you know, supporting your neighbors. So I hope that that's something that, people remember beyond the short term.
Mm-hmm. We all have to be a little bit more responsible, just more conscientious of our buying power and our purchasing decisions. And each one of those can actually create an impact to our community. And so that's definitely a stronger thought that's kind of come to the forefront of every consumer's mind, I hope, too.
Yeah, I think sometimes when people browse in a brick and mortar store, they will look at a product and then sometimes try to find it on Amazon or online, Google Shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's cheaper, you know, they'll sometimes order it with their mobile device. And I think people can still do that, obviously, comparison shop. But I think, I hope that people make that decision to say like, oh, you know, maybe it's a buck or two more here, but I'll be supporting this neighborhood institution. So I do hope that
and
that
I
continues.
Love walking past and like saying hi to my like friendly neighbors there. So
yes.
That's definitely worth it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So what has it been like transitioning to work from home? I usually see you like all over the city, like doing events, visiting your multiple locations of stores. So now you're sheltering in place. What's that like?
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of yelling. The first there's a lot of yelling the first 8 hours of the day because we're homeschooling my 6-year-old and my 9-year-old. And yes, there is some homeschooling actual teaching going on, but there was a lot of yelling to hurry up and get it done. But yeah, I think I don't mind it. I feel I am working harder than I probably was before, just because you know, it's like you are cooking and you're cleaning and taking care of the kids. And I'm also, you know, buying groceries for my mom, driving it out to her. I'm the delivery person, you know, so but I don't mind because I do feel like, you know, this is a short amount of time. It's really it's nice to be as a family unit, you know, together. And I actually do appreciate the quiet time at the stores in order to kind of think about, what do we really need? Strip down, like, were we doing stuff that we didn't need to be doing? And where do we go from here? Because it's really almost a blank slate for everybody. So how do we make this better? You know, do I wish I was in this position? Probably not. But like, I am appreciative of the time to think about it a little bit more deeply.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you have so much on your plate. Have you been able to carve time out for yourself? To find some time to stay sane through all this madness?
I have rediscovered a love of puzzling, as many people do. I've not baked the bread, but I really enjoy the puzzling. It's super fun. And I actually really, now that nobody's in the store, sometimes when I'm working by myself there or with one or two other people, I get to listen. I bring my Bluetooth speaker and I listen to podcasts. So I've caught up on all my Feast Meets West podcasts, and it's funny. Actually really enjoyable. And it's funny because I now drive in a car, which I had not done. So I do have more time to listen to these podcasts, which is great.
Yeah, it sounds like you've found joys in even doing your work by yourself.
Yeah.
That's definitely something. That's a way to go about it for sure.
Yes.
So what are your family's plans for this summer? Like, what do you guys usually do?
Usually the kids go to camp.
And
that's a big question mark for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I don't really think I would send my kids to camp. And yeah, I mean, we usually do a sourcing trip to Asia every year, every summer in August. And I don't know what that looks like either, you know, if people are actually going to be traveling. So I think our hope again is just to kind of make it through the week and the month. And yeah, if we could just.
Yeah, and every week is different. So.
Yeah. So I think if we could just get back to those everyday enjoyments, that would be enough for us. So.
And what are you most excited about when the city fully reopens?
I am excited to see my kids interact with other kids again. There's a little bit of guilt. I mean, it's not that I can do anything about it, but I don't know, this probably ages me, but like they're... is that book series, like Flowers in the Attic. Like I used to read that when I was little, and it was about these kids that were locked in the attic, never got to see people, and they turned all like sallow. That's like my night. I'm like, oh my God, like my kids are going to turn into the Flowers in the Attic kids. So I would love to see them, yeah, just playing with their friends. And I actually did hear your episode, your first episode back last week, and I think it was Amelie. She said that she wanted to go to a diner, and actually that's the same thing that I would like to do, because we go to a diner every Saturday, or we used to, and I would just love to go to the diner and get a meal.
Yeah, reclaiming those like mundane but delicious treats and rituals back.
Exactly.
That's gonna be so nice.
Yes.
Aww. Well, Joanne, thank you so much for taking a moment to chat with me.
Thank you for having
me. Take care. Yeah, and I'll see you really soon, I hope.
Yes. Thanks so much for having me. Stay safe.
You too.
That's it for our show. Thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. As always, we appreciate your support, and it would mean so much if you could leave us a rating or review wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back in a couple weeks with another conversation from the world of Asian food.
Feast Meets West is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to find out more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lam, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.